Dr. Moser, any comment about this history here in terms of having this very delayed brain met? And what have you seen in this regard, these kinds of isolated mets after high-dose IL-2?
Well, I think it's a phenomenon we see across the board in cancer therapy, where when there is an effective therapy that's developed, patients go into remission, they have late relapses in sanctuary sites. So we saw it with bladder cancer and MVAC therapy, where patients were progressing in brain. And in point of fact, I'm seeing it more in the RCC population who are treated with TKIs, where they have good systemic control of their disease, but later on in their course, there seems to be a high proportion of patients who are developing brain metastasis.
So Dr. McDermott, does it make sense that the brain would be a sanctuary in terms of high-dose IL-2? I've heard people talking about the new checkpoint inhibitors and immune therapies maybe being effective in the CNS. What about high-dose IL-2?
Well, it's not a lot of study, in part because high-dose IL-2 could be potentially harmful in the setting of brain mets. You know, it creates edema in a variety of different parts of the body. Obviously, edema in the setting of brain mets could be a problem. So patients with known brain mets have typically been excluded from years of IL-2 trials. So we don't really know how active IL-2 is in the brain. We generally think of it as less active, but that just may be it's not that active a drug. It hasn't really been formally studied. That said, as you mentioned, the checkpoint inhibitors, in the case of CTLA-4 blockade and ipilimumab, have actually been studied in patients with active brain mets in melanoma. And while it's just a phase 2 trial, there are clinical activity with these agents. So we get the sense that activated T cells can get into the brain, but a common failure site for IL-2 patients in both melanoma and kidney cancer is the brain.